I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared create collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So my interview today is with Mark Williams and Bill Dubuque. These are two Hollywood filmmakers who are in Toronto for the festival and the debut of their new film, The Headhunter's Calling, starring Gerard Butler. It's kind of an interesting story on a whole lot of levels, not only the film itself, but how it came to be. A longtime passion project of Gerard Butler's and without a doubt, I think Bill's and Mark's as well. And it, as it is in the title, it's about a headhunter's calling and couple of meanings going on there, to be sure. Had a real fun time with both of these guys, really down to earth, interesting, fun guys. We talk about ego and we talk about the idea of being present and hope and priorities and about being, you know, grounded in the real world and how, you know, we're all addicts of one kind or another. We had a great time, great conversation, not only about the film, but about, well, you know, about the things that matter, actually. And what's interesting about both Mark and Bill, also very much involved in another film coming out in the very near future with Ben Affleck, called The Accountant. By the time you're hearing this, it will have already been in the theaters for a little while. Look both these guys up. Look up their filmographies and listen in for our next interview. Check out davidpecklive.com for more information about my writing and my podcasting and rabble.ca. We're getting close to 250 interviews published online. Thanks for joining us today, and Mark Williams and Bill Dubuque, The Headhunter's Calling. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by a couple of very special guests here today. I'm honored to be here with these guys, filmmakers. This is one of my favorite things to do, is talking to people who are telling stories. Bill Dubuque, writer, and Mark Williams. Headhunter's Calling is the film, the world premiere, correct, which is pretty amazing. So, Mark, tell us a little bit about that, just from a... You got to be pretty chuffed about what's coming down the pipeline over the next few days.
Really, tonight. I mean, we have a gala premiere tonight, and it was funny enough. A year ago, I was in prep on the movie in Toronto while TIFF was going on.
Oh, funny.
And so I went to a few movies in between prep, and then a year later, we are showing our own movie.
Wow! So 12 months all in, or had the film been written already?
Years and years all in, but as far as we were in prep to finish screening, which is about a year, yeah.
So producing films for years, but first-time director, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And Bill, so what are you doing here, Bill? I mean, I'm interested to know.
Right now, I am here for the premiere as well.
Yeah. And your role in it? You just had a small role in this film,
didn't you? Small role.
Yeah.
Wrote the movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I blow into town. I see it. I critique it. Tell Mark that he's even done a wonderful job.
That's right, yes.
Or it's not my fault.
Or it's not your fault. Sign a few autographs, a couple shots of vodka.
Off I go.
Yeah,
off.
Funny, because I was going to blame you if it doesn't work. Okay, I'm not going to figure that out.
So has the madness begun for you guys yet, as far as TIFF is concerned, or is that basically tonight?
I don't know what the madness is supposed to be. I had madness of press on Monday, which was a new experience for me as a producer.
I bet.
The camera's not pointing at you, and people aren't usually asking you questions.
Right.
That was a whole new ball of wax for me to really see what that was like.
Well, it's kind of interesting, you know, not really having been doing this for, you know, too long as, you know, now a journalist, if you will, small J over here. There's a headhunter-like edge to journalism. Bill, you got it. I mean, your background, you've got, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what drove you to write this, some of that personal story? Because it comes out, I think, in the film. It's a pretty unsettling film in a sense, relationally.
You know, I'm a big fan of those movies that are grounded, that are real, that are based on something that perhaps a world you're not that familiar with. I'd never seen a film about headhunters. I'm a big fan of movies like Glengarry Glen Ross.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Wall Street.
The ABCs of closing, right?
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, I hadn't been in the headhunting agency for too terribly long, maybe a couple weeks, years ago. And I thought, there's a movie here. Right now, it's just ego talking. But there's enough going on in the headhunting agency. Competition, greed, desire. I just knew that if you use that as a backdrop and tell another story, you can capture something that perhaps we hadn't seen before.
Is it really, a friend of mine, may still be, I don't know, I've kind of lost track of him, he went to the dark side, and I can explain that in my, you know, next conversation. But is it really that ruthless?
Oh, it's more ruthless.
Which is ridiculous.
More ruthless, by far. Than what you see on screen. It's more ruthless internally because you've got all these people that are inside your headhunting agency and they're all competing against other recruiters that are in the world and against each other. So there's a fine balance between camaraderie and I need this deal. I need the deal to pay the mortgage. I need the deal to pay for my car. I gotta have it. I've got a wife and kids to support.
At what point, for either of you, I mean, you know, I've often wondered, I used to work with a big bank here in Toronto, and I remember coming into a boardroom kind of like this one, and this was just after email had kind of launched, and the boardroom table was full of paper, stacks of paper, and this was a woman printing off every email that had been sent to her in the last 8 months, because she was covering her ass. And I remember going home and saying to Elizabeth, my wife, and probably others, and I've used it since, there's this 9-to-5 way of living. There's this ethic, right? That you can treat people horribly, you can disregard others because you're doing it for your family. Or, you know, this is my 9-to-5, right? There's a different ethic. Is that?
Well, then, and that's part of the storyline,
yeah,
right?
Obviously, yeah,
the balance between work and personal, you know, as far as why you do certain things. If you can justify your behavior and to do something that maybe is not quite as ethical or pushes the boundaries, but you're doing it for the good of your family, then maybe it's okay. So it really is that conversation that we all probably have in our own heads every day because we do need to support a family. And sometimes it's just not that easy. So you might have to push the boundaries and... Yeah, this is. I live in Hollywood, and
right.
if there's never a better place to see that example, it's Hollywood,
right.
Because we're all fighting over the same pie and the same talent, the same scripts, the same money, and so not everybody is playing by the same rules. So that it does have that same sense of where's the line.
Dane crosses the line, I think. A couple times, it seems to me anyway. I mean, obviously that's up for interpretation and dialogue and so on, you know, supporting my family. In fact, gets quite angry at a couple points in the film. But sometimes I wonder, I mean, isn't it really just about ego and your paycheck? I mean, really, he was using his family, it seems to me, as a way of justifying that next phone call. He's just got this massive to-do list, right? Right?
Well, I'll give you
feeds into his insecurities in some way.
Yes and no. I can remember before I had children. I was a headhunter before I had kids. And my wife and I did not take a honeymoon because I was too busy closing deals.
Wow.
So maybe 2 years later, we take our honeymoon. She wants to go to the Grand Canyon. And cell phones weren't as, mobile phones weren't as prolific as they are now. There's a phone in the back seat of the seat in front of you on the plane. And before that plane got it to its cruising altitude, I'm on that phone. Got my credit card swipe. I'm on the phone from the doctor's chair.
Oh, you mean the one that you pop out of? Right, right, okay.
I'm closing the deal. I've got to close a deal in Henderson, Kentucky. We're going to the Grand Canyon. So after a while, I hang up the phone with Grand Canyon. And she is standing. I told her I've got to make a phone call. Just stay here. It's just a phone call. So I go down. We're on the rim of the Grand Canyon. It's what, the Bright Angel Trail. There's an old lodge there. And I go to the, you got to find a payphone. You go way down there. And I'm on the phone. And close the deal, right? I placed an engineering manager, Henderson, Kentucky, fee $28,000. Not a small amount of money.
It's not bad.
And go up, she's nowhere to be found. I find her a few hundred yards down the rim of the Grand Canyon. She's crying because she thinks this is what this entire honeymoon is going to be. So that was ego, because my name went to the top of a board in that headhunting agency as this is the guy. Right. And when I walked in, it was that's the guy. And there were maybe three guys, right,
yeah,
in an agency of 60-odd people. It's there's your producers, there's your hitters, there's your big billers. So from that standpoint, you're absolutely right. It's pure ego, baby. Then we have a child, another child, and another child. And you wake me at 3 a.m. in the morning, and I can do the math on 25% in terms of, okay, I got to get this money in. I got to get these interviews set. I got to get this going. Because I've got a wife who's now a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And I got three kids. And those three kids have medical needs. They've got everything else. And you got to come up with the mortgage. You got to come up with the car payments. You got to come up with everything. And when times get tough, Dave, I can remember walking through a Shop and Save near the strip mall office that I had at the end and thinking to myself, I'm not buying name brand syrup. Screw it. I'm going to buy the generic syrup. Tastes just as good. They can learn to live with it. The bottom will fall out of the economy.
Right.
So, yeah, it can be ego, but at the end it's, I'm going to do what I need to do.
Right.
So I
got to right.
make a deal.
Right.
Right now.
Right. And like you say, Mark, that's what the film kind of is. It's about that balance. It's about walking that line. And for some, I guess the line is going to be differently placed than others. Great scene in the film where the father and son put their face up against the wall of the building. One of my faves. And I really can't figure out where his character really shifts. And he says, "Okay, I've got him. I haven't quite landed there yet." And a theme for me this festival, 2016, is about this idea of being present. Right?
That's
very
true.
Buddhist kind of notion, right? This, you know, very spiritual. Let's be in the moment. And I'm really kind of crummy at it. My wife is amazing at it. My kids are 9 and 11. They're teaching me every day to be present. Dad, can you come and see this? I'm in the middle of a call right now, and I'm actually trying to consciously, I'm getting goosebumps when I'm saying this, put this aside, push the laptop away, and focusing on whatever it's in, whether it's the gerbil, or a colored rubber band. do you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the kind of the tragedy of,
well, I know
of
exactly,
right?
But without question, you know, you spoke before you turned the mic about moving the needle.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
And you're right. It is about being present, but too often we recognize those things because of something that negative that has happened. We're influenced by that. So when you talk about Dad, I've got a phone call. I perhaps can't do this right now. I'll bet you there are times when you've gotten off that phone call and you've thought to yourself, I missed that, didn't I? I blew that.
Oh, yeah.
Wish I'd have handled that differently.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
And that wears on you.
It does
so
wear me, yeah.
I think what's thematic in Headhunter, and Mark knows this, and I know he was very conscious of this from the beginning, that this is what he's looking for in terms of the performances, is that feeling of hope, that feeling of priority, the feeling of being present. Because what you find with Dane is, here's a person who does something to his detriment because of how he thinks It'll either be reflected in the eyes of his son or how he feels about himself. Right? And to me, that's important. You know, to me, those kind of movies where that lump your throat, but when you walk out, you think, I remember that. That's the kind of thing that I want to be a part of.
And to be specific, you know, the story of Stop and Smell the Roses is told with the concept of architecture.
Absolutely. Yeah, haven't touched on that yet, which is brilliant, by the way. Yeah, really love that. Yeah, as a philosopher academically, I'm all about getting to the foundations, right? The presupposition. What is the foundation? What's holding this up? Right.
And in this case, it's, you know, a son teaching a father a lesson, but through a different means, which in this case is his own, voice of architecture and drawings and such. So that's what's important is
one of my favorite things, the Lego of his name on the wall. Speaking of architecture, I mean, this kid clearly had a few things going on, right?
Yes.
I mean, clearly. So I interviewed a psychiatrist. I don't think she would agree with that. I forget what she called neuropsychiatrist. Oh, I'm so sorry, Dr. Swingle. Anyway, she said that there's a really fine line between being driven and being addicted, being an addict, right? Mm-hmm. And to that earlier question about ego versus sort of family. And I just kind of wondered if, I mean, there's something, right, awesome about ticking things off your to-do list. And you're coming from Hollywood. You must, you know, as a producer, the adrenaline of getting that person, getting that location, getting, you know what I mean? It all gelling and coming together.
I think we're all addicts to a degree. Otherwise, we wouldn't be successful in what we do either.
Right, right. Do you mean all of us or filmmakers?
Everybody in this room, whether, I don't know about the rest of the world, but to be successful, you have to basically, have an addiction to what you're doing.
Yep.
Frankly, you have to have a love for it, too, because if you don't, you're going to be killing yourself every day.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's about finding something that you really believe in and pushing it. But that causes an addiction, because when you do have that success.
Sure, sure.
And frankly, you know, in this world, you get kicked a lot, too. So you have to be able to pull yourself up. And what is that driving force that gets you back up to go again? It's a bit of an addiction. It's a love and a passion, too. And, you know, I think the better word in general is passion.
Yeah,
But it can certainly be driven in an addiction sort of terminology that isn't necessarily positive, but I think passion is a key to success.
I think her point. I didn't go there with her in this interview, but I think her point was there's a fine line between it being healthy and unhealthy. I think is essentially what she was kind of saying. I love the doctor's line. I mean, quite a few favorite lines in the film, but, the disease is going to get worse if it's not treated quickly. And I kind of felt like that was almost a wake-up call for me. And for so many of us who tend, maybe the three of us in this room even, who tend towards the addictive side a little bit, right? It's, if you don't treat this, man, it's going to get out of hand and pretty unwieldy pretty fast. You're going to be going for that phone while you're standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon again.
And you will, and if whatever your addiction is, whatever your obsession is, whether you call it driven addiction, if you get positive reinforcement for that, if you're rewarded for that immediately, early on,
right?
That's what feeds that fire, right? If the money starts coming in and the recognition and the accolades, it's pretty easy to stay down that, I need more of that. Right, you buy a car that's got 333 horsepower, next thing you know, you want some 500, right? You want to go faster and faster, you want more and more.
And in this movie, obviously, something kicks him in the ass to make him look at those choices that he's making on a daily basis and make different choices, perhaps. And I think we all maybe have those things happen to us, or we don't, and we just keep going on our path. So, for Bill, I mean, having three kids obviously turned a different corner for him.
Yep.
I don't have kids, so my path is driven by other things, and in this case it was to be different in my creative profession to a slight degree, and that would be directing versus producing, but it's, again, it's taking that passion and guiding it in a different way.
So sadly, I'm going to get, the signal here in a second, but a question about... a couple questions, and then we'll have to wrap it up. Gerard Butler, I think I read Real Passion Project for him as well. And I thought that was pretty interesting. A lot of people have sort of pointed the finger at me and, you know, David, you got to start focusing more. And, you know, you got a few too many passion projects on the go. I actually don't take that as a critical thing anymore. Was there a personal edge to this? Was it a friendly kind of passionate thing? Was it you and him having a conversation, Mark, saying, we got to make this? This is an important story to tell?
When I met Jerry, he obviously was in a place in his life where he was becoming, or was, very successful as an action star. Yep. And I think as he talks about it, and had talked about it then and still does today, is some of those things are great for him, but they don't fulfill his soul. Mm. And he was looking for something that he could do that would fulfill his soul. And this was a character, a relationship between a father and a son that he could relate to in his own life that was fulfilling a need that he needed internally. And also just to show that, you know, he's a real actor. He can really perform. Given the right opportunities, given great words that Bill gave him, he can do it. He just hasn't necessarily been making those choices or doing those roles,
right.
But it's in him, and hopefully it shows.
Helping other dads get jobs so they can take care of their families. I mean, if that doesn't sort of bring a little bit of a tear to your eye, just from the child's perspective. I don't know. Mystery, the wonder of it. I think it's a really nice reminder, I guess, to the headhunter in all of us. Right?
I think without question, Dave, you know, that's a question that my children used to pose to me all the time.
What do you do for a living?
You know, yeah. I hear me talking on the phone, my voice gets loud, I say different things, but what are you doing? Right? But, you know, what was satisfying for me in the film are those things that ring true. I've had people that after you secure them a position, maybe they've gone months and months, sometimes close to a year or more. They have no job, and our self-worth is so often determined by what we do.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
And people that you've got the job. So imagine the satisfaction that I derive from calling someone up who's put everything they have into a series of interviews, and perhaps because of their age, race, sex, whatever, they've been denied that position or a position in the past. And you say, you got the job. And they just dissolve in tears.
Mm, mm.
It's such a relief. It's such a relief. Not just because now you've given them a chance to earn again the income that we all need, but it's a self-worth. It's, I've got a job. And we all get our hands around having a job.
Well, there's a meaningfulness, right? To being, I mean, it's, and you know what, another theme for me, and I think this is kind of the theme for every film I see, I'm looking for it, is this set, you know, we're all kind of broken in our own way, I think, and we're all looking for that little bit of extra reconciliation or reconnection, and we're always trying to find a way back home. That's kind of, you know, we just, you know, God, that's where I want to be, right? And I've traveled a lot, and I love it still. But I'd much rather be at home, you know?
Correct. I agree 100% with you.
So, anything next? You got anything on post-it note? How many post-it notes have you got on your wall?
I would say the big post-it note is the accountant comes out October 14th. So,
okay.
Bill wrote that as well, and I produced it, so we're very excited about that.
I didn't know you produced it. Wow. Trailers look ridiculously good.
So we're very excited about that.
I bet you are. Me too.
Happens.
And you, Bill? Just
you have different projects. I'm working on a project for Universal right now.
Nice.
Different things that Mark and I are continuing to collaborate on. So plate's full.
Plate is full. Excellent. Well, thank you for telling
thank
the story. Headhunters Calling World premiere tonight, in fact, tonight. September the 14th. The only reason I know that is because it's my birthday on Friday. Mark Williams and Bill Dubuque here with us today, and we beat the publicist, so I'm kind of excited about that. Guys, thanks a lot for your
happy birthday,
film
Friday.
And thanks for the film. Thanks and congratulations.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.